Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just picked up once again that they believed because they heard his word for them, not because of any signs that they saw Jesus do. Over the last month, and even over the last couple of days, we have seen the devastation that water can cause in the floods. And I'm sure that you've seen it on your television screens on many occasions. We've also seen what happens in our country when there's a drought, and that too can be so devastating. I think sometimes we take water for granted. It's always there for us. We only have to, in Australia, most of the time, certainly in our homes, turn on the tap and we've got water. Sometimes we even waste it. This is what a Canadian woman once said. Sometimes I will go without food so my grandchildren can have water to drink. I recently read that water is now and always has been a source of life and quarrels. Think about that. Where clean water is scarce, its prices rise, and it becomes a precious commodity and a tool of exploitation. Water is becoming an important justice issue around our globe. I found out on the computer that according to the World Health Organization, there are more than 1.5 billion people without access to clean water. 1.5 billion people. Have you ever been dying for a drink? Yes? Would you like to share when it was such an occasion for you? Sorry, Kath. Yes? Yes. After surgery, I think that that all of us can relate to that. And even if you just get given that tiny little ice block, it makes such a difference, doesn't it? Oh yes, poor Tom, when he went for a blood test, he hadn't drunk enough water. So that can happen too, can't it? Anyone else? After a long journey that took Jesus a long walk, he deliberately walked through the middle of Samaria. He was tired and thirsty, and we know what that feels like. He sits down beside the well. It was Jacob's well, and a Samaritan woman comes to draw water, and Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." I don't know about you, but I wonder what happened to the word please. There's a great to-ing and fro-ing between the two of them. A Jew, as we've heard, asking a Samaritan woman for a drink was not done. You don't speak to them, let alone ask them for a drink, and make yourself contaminated and unclean. And worse still, she was also a woman. I like what she says. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And Jesus' response is very interesting. If you knew who was asking you for a drink, like it's almost humorous. Have you ever been anywhere and somebody has said to you, well, if you just knew who I am, I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I have, when I've been standing in a line And he wanted to go first, and he said, "Don't you realise who I am?" So sometimes we've experienced that as well. So what's going on in this story? Jesus continues along the same sort of lines as he did with the conversation that we heard about last week with Nicodemus, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, "You need to be born again." Another issue of water as well, living water. And when Jesus brings that up, she's totally confused. She says to him, "Well, where does that come from?" I don't know if you picked up that she had to come in the middle of the day. The hottest time of the day was when she could safely go and draw water from the well. And it's no wonder that she says, "Well, give me that water. Give me that water so that I never have to come in the heat of the day again." She also realizes and asks him, "Are you greater than Jacob? Give me this water, sir, so that I may never thirst again or have to keep coming to draw water here." Ever not wanted somebody to know your story and all about your life? I wonder what it meant for her to hear Jesus say, "Go and get your wife, bring your husband here. Go call your husband and come back." And she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you had five husbands. And the one that you have now is not your husband." I've always wondered whose husband that he might have been. Have you ever wondered that as you've read the gospel story? It's an interesting, interesting thing. All that Jesus was doing, that he was showing her that he knew everything about her. To be known is to be loved. To be loved is to be known. In that recognition, you could see that her understanding was beginning to change. She was coming from no faith to some faith. There's recognition in this story. In the end, as Heather shared with us, she goes back, leaves the water there, doesn't take it with her, just so that she could go back to her village and tell them what's happened. And some of them come back, the story tells us. And there's recognition about who Jesus is. Does that happen for us? "Come and see the man who told me everything I had ever done." What a witness she becomes. And they end up saying to her later, "It's no longer because of what you've told us that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know this is truly the Saviour of the world." The offer Jesus made to the woman, he offers to us. It's got nothing to do with water, because it's everlasting life. "The water that I will give will become for you the spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Transforming stuff. Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch have written a book about the future of the church. It's a really good book. If you'd like to read it, just tell me and I'll bring it. And this is what they say. The future of the church is for it to become like a well. To become like a well. A life-giving centre. A life-giving centre. As we go into our future together, especially after our congregational meeting the other day, that is the next step the step, talking about how are we going to do this? What would it mean for this community here to be a life-giving centre? What a challenge to us as we go into our future, for this place becomes a Christ-centred well to which people can come and draw water. You, my friends, may not have come to this particular well today looking for anything more than maybe a cup of coffee and a cup of tea to share with each other. Might not have expected that Jesus might ask you for a drink this morning. But he who knows us better than we know ourselves might just be asking you for a drink today. For the one who meets us here and everywhere we care to find him is the one who simply wants to give us from that life-giving water. Think about it. That when you come to worship, you're actually coming to draw water from the well, so that you might go out this door this morning and never feel that thirst again. What would that mean for you? I invite you to have a look at a YouTube this morning and listen to someone else talk about the woman at the well.